Okay, so let's get started with the Q&A session with our speakers today. Unfortunately, Pablo could not be here for this session. He had a different commitment that he could not release himself from. But we do have Chong Wang, who talked about dualities this morning, and as well as Xue Chen, gave a lecture about gauge theories and lattice gauge theories and topological phases. So if you want to ask a question, please raise your hand, and I will. There should be a raise hand button for the attendees. I see someone has done that already, and I will allow you to speak. Okay. So the first question is from Umang Mehta, so I'm going to allow him to speak now.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
My question is for Chong Wang. I'm trying to understand the idea of the concept of weak and strong dualities better from like an RG perspective. So if I understand correctly, a strong duality is when two different theories flow to the same IR fixed point, so that they have all the same kinematic property, kinematics and dynamic properties, including critical exponents. Is there a similar way to understand weak dualities from this sort of space of field theories perspective? And if so, does that result in any sort of equivalence class on the space of IR theories that is like coarser than just IR CFTs?
Not really.
Actually, Chong, maybe I could request you to repeat the question. Just summarize the question maybe before you start the answer. That may help.
So my understanding is, I was basically asked to clarify the notion of weak duality, more or less. So depend on what you care about, right? If you restrict yourself to perfectly well-defined renormalizable quantum field theories, then the statement of weak duality doesn't really say that much, right? So if I have a strong duality, it means those two field theories flow to the same fixed point, therefore having all the having the same universal properties. Now, if these two theories are only weakly dual but not strongly dual, then the best you can say is they have qualitatively the same set of local operators. They have a similar set of global symmetries, and for the global symmetries they share, they carry the same quantum anomaly. Right. So in condensed matter literature, sometimes we say that they have the same set of they have the same underlying Hilbert space, which basically means the set of things I just said. Right. However, if you relax your definition of quantum field theory a little bit, then weak duality means that the statement is that for theory on one side, you can find a UV definition of the theory on the other side, such that the two theories are the same. So if you manage to find that proper UV definition, of course, they will be the same in the UV, and even in the IR, they will have the same critical property, and so on. Except that UV definition may not look very weak coupling.
I see. So there specifically has to be one instance of a UV theory that flows down to those.
Or maybe that the other way to say it is that UV theory may not look particularly nice.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you. So let's go to the next question, Shankar Dinesh.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll phrase my question in a concrete setting. So in the easing Majorana duality, a continuous symmetry breaking transition on one side, on the easing side, gets mapped to a topological transition on the Majorana side. So the nature of the transition itself is changed, but there are some properties that are required to match on either side of the duality. For instance, the number of ground states on either side, or the particle spectrum and so on. So can one tell what properties must be preserved under duality maps in general? And is this are there different criteria for weak and strong versions of the duality?
Right. So okay. So that question has two parts. So let me first the first part is what property do you expect to be preserved under duality? So I would say anything that you would like to call universal property should be preserved. It has to be that way, otherwise duality is probably not that useful. So under a strong duality, that includes literally everything, including things like critical exponent. But if the two theories are only weakly dual, as I just said, you only expect things like anomaly, quantum anomalies to match. Critical exponent may not necessarily be so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So let's go to the next question by Rehua Fan. Rehua?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this question is for Chong again. So I have a question for doing like the sanity check on the time reversal transformation on the like the both sides for the fermion duality. And I remember in the last step of the proof or in the sanity check, we do a Gaussian integral for one of the gauge field B tilde.
Yes.
And we say it's a Gaussian because it only has quadratic terms, so we can safely integrate that out. But actually, this B tilde field is a U1, not R gauge field. So I'm a bit concerned whether there is some subtlety in doing this.
Great. Yeah. So I skipped one step. That is, it's quadratic, and furthermore, that level one Chen Simons term is trivial as a TQFT. For example, so take another example. If in a similar situation, I have level two Chen Simons, then integrating out that B tilde would be, you should be very careful about that. Because when doing that, you miss things like ground state degeneracy and so on. So that's not desired. So it's justified when it's trivial as a TQFT.
Yeah. I see. Thanks.
Sure.
All right, thank you. So let's go to the next question. It's Marvin Chi.
Hi, this question is also for Chong. So I was wondering, given like this distinctions between strong and weak duality, are there any examples where we have a weak duality, but there may be some reason to believe that it's not a strong duality? Or is it so far that all of our examples of weak duality are also conjectured to be strong dualities?
Good question. I don't really have a good counterexample, good example where it's two theories are weakly dual, but are known to be not strongly dual. I don't have a good example. I have some, there are, okay. Like I mentioned one example where I think people are still working on it. That is the final duality, the fermion-fermion duality, which was useful for Song's theory of half-field Landau level. So people did some lattice gauge theory simulation recently. And the gauge theory side looks a little bit like, looks somewhat like a first order transition. More work needs to be done on that to confirm whether that is indeed true or not. But if that numerical work holds, then that would be an example where the two theories are weakly dual but not strongly dual. Beside that, in 2 plus 1D, I'm not really aware of. For abelian dualities, that's the only plausible candidate I'm aware of. But for non-abelian dualities, there are some candidate examples.
John, maybe I can ask you to elaborate a little bit. So when you say there is this duality of the fermion-fermion duality, you mean there's this is the duality of free Dirac fermions to QED3 with NF equal to two component fermions? Is that?
No. I'm talking about the simpler one, the Song's duality.
NF equal to one.
Yeah, angle one. So Karthik and Narayanan did some recent lattice gauge theory simulation. They claim it looks like a first order transition. I think that probably some other confirmation is needed to fully settle the dust.
Although you could imagine changing parameters microscopically on the lattice scale and discovering the continuous transition.
That's the thing, right? If you're allowed to define your lattice theory with strong coupling, then we know for sure you could find some parameter where it's but I mean, this lattice gauge theory people, they care about being in the renormalizable regime very seriously. So they tried their best to be in the proper continuum limit. I mean, there are some other aspects of their simulation which people can discuss. Whether there are some steps where can ask whether it's fully legitimate or not. But the continuum limit thing, they are pretty as careful as they could, I would say.
Okay, thank you. So maybe we'll move to the next question then. It's by Omid Tavakol.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. This question is for Dr. Shi Chen. I was wondering, is there any relation between the spectrum of the Hamiltonian with global symmetry and the gauge Hamiltonian? I mean, in other words, how much information can I gain by understanding one of these Hamiltonians?
Yeah, sure. So in the example I gave, it's too simple. Everything's gapped. So you have Ising, which is gapped. And then gauge it into toric code, it's also gapped, although the ground state degeneracy, that is completely topological. That doesn't show up on the Ising side. So this is, I think, generically true for gap theory. And so basically, the picture is that in most cases, but in most cases, you can imagine that the gauge field just comes for the ride, and the matter field, if it's if it's gapped, then it's gapped, and if it's there's a Dirac cone, it's a Dirac cone. If it's a Fermi surface, it's a Fermi surface. Although there's caveat in that the gauge field might be confining, and but not all cases are like that, but mostly you can think of gauge field coming for the ride. But then gauge field can have its own dynamics. For example, if you have simple gauge fields like Z2, then it's gapped, it's just giving you a ground state degeneracy. But if you have U1 gauge fields, then it might come with a photon at a low energy. So that's extra low energy degrees of freedom. And it may even be confining, which just confines everything. So in a simple case where things are gapped, then if the matter field is gapped, if it's a discrete gauge theory, if it's a discrete gauge group, then everything's still gapped.
Thanks.
So there was a question in the Q&A, which is maybe related to that, Shia. So a question was, how are the photons recovered if we take a ZN gauge theory and take N to infinity?
Oh, yeah, right. So the story I was talking about is for toric code, it's just Z2 or any discrete gauge theory. You can imagine increasing Z to Zn. And then you can have ground state degeneracy, which is on a torus, which is n squared. But then if you take the limit of U1, then you can imagine that it may become an infinite ground state degeneracy in some limit. But then notice that the Hamiltonian that we write down, it contains the gauge symmetry, and it contains the matter field. Hopefully it's not doing anything crazy. But then we only included the magnetic field term. The Poquet term, it's only the magnetic field term. So if you can, of course, you can include the electric field term. For torical, we didn't do that. We could do that. It's just a simple tau x or tau z, I don't remember. I think I even switched that convention in the middle of my lecture note. I'm sorry about that. I should fix that. But we could add an electric field term or electric field square term in our Hamiltonian. And for gap theory, it doesn't change much as long as the term is small. It doesn't change universal properties. Unless if it's very big, then everything will be confining and we lose the topological order. For gap theory, at least in a perturbative sense, then nothing is changed. For the U1 case, things will be very different. And if we have an infinite ground state degeneracy, and if we add a little bit of electric field, then it depends on which dimension you're living. If you're in 2+1 dimension, then immediately become confining, meaning that you lose, you become a boring state. And in 3+1 D, we get into the Coulomb phase, meaning that we have a linear dispersion for the photon mode.
All right, let me go to the next question, which is from Brandon Le Huan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So yeah, I guess this is a follow-up to a question that was asked at the end of Shi Chen's lecture. Maybe instead of asking a super open-ended question, I can just ask the most concrete question, which is, that we normally, when we learn about the duality between Z2 lattice gauge theory and the Ising model, well, we're just told that those two theories are dual. And I assume that isn't taking into account things that happen with boundary conditions. And so my question is the proper accounting of those boundary conditions achieved by putting a Z2 gauge field on one side of the duality? So maybe the statement would be like, the Ising model is dual to a gauged Ising model, sort of similar to what Chong mentioned in 1+1D with Ising self-duality.
Okay, let me try to understand your question. You were saying that in Chong's talk, Matthew was asking if we have open boundary condition in 1+1D, the self-duality is better established because we don't have this boundary condition subtlety. And then your question is whether in 2+1D, there's a similar relation, is that right?
Yeah, sort of. I was just making an analogy with 1+1D because if you like write down this IR duality, one side is just you know, Landau-Ginzburg theory for a scalar field, and the other side is also Landau-Ginzburg theory for a scalar field, but there's also a Z2 gauge field there, and that Z2 gauge field somehow accounts for boundary conditions. And I was wondering if in 2+1D, you similarly need to add a Z2 gauge field somewhere to account for boundary conditions appropriately.
Yeah, I'm thinking very similar sense as in 1D.
Yeah.
You can fix sectors.
I have to confess, I only started thinking about this after this question appeared in Chia's talk, so I haven't fully scrutinized my thought. But I think if you take the usual statement, okay, what's the usual statement? The usual statement, I mean, at least one version is this. So an ordinary Ising model 2+1 is dual to a pure Z2 gauge theory.
Mm-hmm.
2+1. Pure meaning there's only flux but no charge.
Mm-hmm.
No, on face value, that can't be really true, because basically the symmetries don't match, right? On the Ising model, you can define a global Z2 Ising symmetry. It's not clear how you define that for a pure Z2 gauge theory. On the Z2 gauge theory side, if you literally have a pure Z2 gauge theory, you're going to have a one-form Z2 symmetry. Now, that doesn't show up on the Ising model side.
Right.
So, Now, this much I think is correct. So you must add something to fix that. I think one possible way to fix it, now I don't guarantee this is completely correct, but I think one way to do it is to say that the Z2-1 form symmetry on the gauge theory side is actually gauged.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there is actually a two-form Z2 gauge field. That way, you get rid of the one-form Z2 gauge symmetry, but also a two-form Z2 gauge field in 2 plus 1 allows you to endow the system with a global Z2 symmetry. Well, it's essentially just the flux of the two-form Z2, the two-form gauge field. I think that way you will be able to reproduce everything correctly.
Is there some, like, is a two-form Z2 gauge field secretly the same as something else? like, is it secretly the same as, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I wanted the fix to it to be not to add a Z2 two-form gauge field, but rather to just add icing matter, because then that would sort of reconcile the usual statement of Wegener's duality with what Ji Chen was talking about, which was, you know, relating various aspects of the ungauged icing model to the gauged icing model. Which it could just be that, you know, Wegener duality is completely unrelated to this process of gauging the icing model, but I sort of wanted to know if there's any relation. Does that question make sense?
Yeah. I tend to say these two things are somewhat different. I don't know what Xi's take.
I would say it's in this case, it's the same story.
So if it's secretly the same, maybe like I could ask, you can imagine gauging more general abelian symmetries. Does that always mean that the gauged and the ungauged models are dual in some appropriate sense, like generalizing Wegener's duality, or?
No, I don't think it generalizes. I guess it depends on what you mean by duality. Like you can take a Zn paramagnet and do it. A more complicated matter field, I don't think you can just.
Actually, we could get back to this question tomorrow in your lecture, Shia, because we have some more.
Sure. Sorry.
Opportunities. For Let's. I think maybe we have time for one more question. Maybe we'll take one more question, and actually there are two. So maybe two quick questions, and so let me ask Rochen Ma to ask a question.
Hear me?
Faintly, yeah. I'm trying to say the same thing louder.
Could you hear anything?
No.
Rochen, so maybe that may have been because I muted you. Could you try speaking again?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for Chong. So you mentioned in your lecture that in the context of Jordan-Wegener transformation, the duality transformation on the bosonic side should be mapped to the Z2 chiral symmetry on the free fermion side.
Yeah.
So I guess that's this chiral symmetry should involve some anomaly, and can I directly see the anomaly in the bosonic description?
You could. there is a way to, yeah, there is a way to derive that at the field theory level. But I mean, I can show you how to derive it offline, but I'm not, I don't think I can do it here. But
maybe physically, the statement is that self-duality cannot be a physical symmetry.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So shall we go to the last question? Okay, Patrick Ledwith.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, and this is kind of related to something you said, Chung, earlier about one model having a, like the IC model having a Z2 symmetry, but its gauge version having a one-form symmetry. Is it true that like ordinary zero-form symmetries have to be dual to other ordinary zero-form symmetries? I ask because some of these dualities seem very non-local.
Yeah, so, okay, good point. So, actually, just as she said, it slightly depends on exactly what you mean by duality. If by duality you mean the two theories are actually the same, I mean, they could be the same only in the IR, but still they are the same, then every universal aspect should be reproduced on the other side. For example, if I have a symmetry on one side, that symmetry should be there on the other side. Now, the fact that some of these dualities look non-local simply means that you are mapping, at least in the simpler setting, it just means that it's a gauge theory, become a gauge theory, right? But still, even in the gauge theory, you can still ask what are the gauge invariant or local operators, right? So the mapping is non-local doesn't mean you are mapping a local theory to a non-local theory. Right? It's just local operators take a different form, right? For example, in the Jordan-Wigner, the particle on one side becomes the flux on the other side. Yeah, so the short answer is yes, I do expect a zero-form symmetry to be mapped onto another zero-form symmetry. If by duality it means what I meant.
Can I ask a really quick follow-up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for the, like, just the Kramer's Wannier for 1D transverse field icing model, I think the Z2 icing symmetry, once we go to domain walls, becomes like flipping the Z2 flux of the gauge field.
Yeah.
In what sense is that local? Because it seems to me like it's the flux is kind of threaded through the loop of the spin system.
Right. The total flux is not defined locally. You have to go through the entire ring to tell whether you have a non-trivial flux or not. But flipping the flux only requires a local operator, right? The analogy is this: take the original icing model, plain vanilla icing model. But I want to ask you, what's the total icing charge? The only sensible definition is the product of sigma x on every set, which is not a local object. But flipping that total charge only requires a single sigma z.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we should stop here to end right on time. Thanks very much, Shia and Chung. That was a very interesting Q&A session. And as usual, there's a happy hour, I guess, after this. And the links were sent out I think yesterday or should be on the Slack channel. And otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time, when Andreas Karch will continue with dualities, but from a dual viewpoint. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow then. Thank you.